Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Season 4, Episode 19 of They Walk Among Us, a podcast dedicated to UK true crime. Listener caution is advised, as this episode contains adult themes and descriptions that some listeners may find distressing. An allotment is usually a place of tranquility and community, somewhere to watch your hard work grow. During 2017 at an allotment in London, something happened to change that sense of peace. Leah Adrisioko held the plot at Colindale Allotments in a suburb of North London. On the allotment's website, it mentions the five golden rules. We respect each other. We respect the neighbours of our site. We keep our site clean and tidy. We treat each other as we would like to be treated. And we use our plots for growing, harvesting, and quiet recreation. Not too far from Colindale Tube Station, the grounds of the allotment are extensive, with the 90 or so plots overflowing with homegrown vegetables and flowers. There is a long waiting list for a plot, currently over 2 years. With that many people occupying the site, it is not surprising there were some conflicts. What was a surprise is what one of those conflicts would ultimately lead to. Leah Adrisioko, also known by her maiden name, Leah Hulselmans, was an 80-year-old widow. Extremely fit and sprightly for her age, her allotment plot had been a passion and a pastime for the last 25 years. So intertwined with the community, she took on the position of Secretary of Colindale Allotment Association, managing the site, dealing with issues tenants may have, and making sure the rents were collected. Another tenant, Rahim Mohammadi, was enthusiastic about his plot and liked to have a say in the way the allotment was organised. The 40-year-old Kurdish Iranian had fled to Britain in 2005, seeking political asylum. He had sustained back injuries in Iran and was in constant pain. He had also been left with a permanent injury to one of his eyes and scars across the majority of his body. His father had also been tortured and imprisoned. he received support from Freedom From Torture, an organization that provides therapy and support for victims of torture that were dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder after their harrowing experiences. They provide services like counseling or creative therapies, and as part of that, Rahim Mohammadi obtained his allotment plot through the organization as part of a horticultural project in 2008. In 2010, Mohammadi was given indefinite leave to remain in the UK. Since then, he would spend his days at the allotment tending to his land and disappearing off into his shed to take opium, which he said helped relieve the pain in his back. A psychotherapist who treated Mohammadi would later speak to the Guardian newspaper. She said, "When I first met him, he was utterly withdrawn. He couldn't speak. He couldn't look at you. He was just a frightened little puppy." Unemployed and living in a bedsit in Goldsmiths Row off Hackney Road in London, he would take public transport, a one-hour journey, almost every day to get to Colindale allotments. Absent of a support network of family and friends, life at the allotments became his focus. There were things going on that Rahim didn't approve of. A couple of plot holders had been using their space to bend the rules, having late-night parties, playing loud music, and allegedly taking drugs. Despite the fact he frequently took opium on site, Rahim found the other tenants' behaviour unacceptable, attending a committee meeting to speak up. The committee was formed of seven people who met a handful of times a year in a concrete hut near the entrance. Close by was the only other permanent structure, a shed with a corrugated roof that housed the garden equipment to maintain the communal areas. Allotment Secretary Leah Adrisioko chaired that same meeting. She had to deal with more troubling issues than she anticipated in her position. Leah was called upon again when one allotment member accused another of rape, a case that was investigated, but ultimately dropped by police. Leah often mediated the frustrations between Rahim Mohammadi, other plot holders, and the antisocial behaviour happening on site. Some people had sought advice from the Citizens Advice Bureau and called police about the activities. The owners of those plots who had been holding late-night parties had not yet been evicted from the allotment, so frustrations between Mohammadi and Leah came to a head in two meetings during September 2016. Mohammadi was verbally aggressive, making it clear he wanted them gone. Leah, mediating, said, "It was not up to him." Mohammadi spat back, calling her a fucking bitch. He sent an angry email to the Colindale Allotments Committee with an extract reading, "She always doing what she like, but no more." She, referring to Leah Adrisioko. In a second meeting, tensions escalated further when Leah told Mohammadi to shut up, and Mohammadi retaliated by calling her a bloody old witch. He then stormed out. Mohammadi felt that he was beginning to lose his grasp on the place he felt was his sanctuary, with his frustrations firmly focused on Leah. In a letter, he said that he thought Leah Adrisioko and some of her friends were bullying him. About 5 months later, on February 27, 2017, Leah failed to turn up to a meeting for the members of the Barnet Allotment Society. She was usually reliable, so Leah's absence was highly unusual. Her family were informed. Leah was a mother to three grown children in their late 40s and early 50s. She had two daughters, Lucy and Tessa, and a son, Mark. She was also a grandmother to five children. Leah had been seen by a fellow allotment holder earlier that day, but no one had reported seeing the 80-year-old since. As her family and friends searched with no luck, they became more frantic, and early the next day at 1:40 a.m., they reported her missing. The police were quick to act due to Leah's age. She was seen as a vulnerable person. It wouldn't be long before they found a body. The allotment was very close to Leah's home and the last place she was seen. It was one of the first places officers searched. At about 2 a.m, her daughter Tessa kept calling her mother's phone. As they were walking the site, a faint ringing was heard in the darkness, getting louder as they walked towards a large lawnmower shed with a corrugated roof on the eastern side of the site off Sheaves Hill Avenue, yards from Leah's home. The door was locked, but the sound of the phone was definitely coming from inside. When police finally accessed the shed, they were met with an awful sight. Leah, dressed in her usual allotment attire of Wellington boots and an apron, was found lying on a wooden pallet covered by her anorak. The pensioner was dead, bruised, and she appeared to have been strangled. A lawnmower close by and the starter cord wrapped tight around her neck. The padlock on the shed where Leah was found was not one that could simply be closed shut to lock it. A key was required, and it wasn't long before investigators found out only four people had keys to the shed. Leah was one of the four. They found her key in the apron she was wearing, though the absence of her house keys was noted. The allotment had fast become a crime scene. Any morning visitors would have been alarmed to see the area cordoned off with reams of police tape. A police car was parked near to the shed, frequently mistaken for a garage, where the body of the 80-year-old was found.
Police arrived here at Collindale Allotments at around 2 o'clock in the morning, as Leah's family desperately tried to reach her on her mobile phone. It was a sound that police then traced to this locked shed.
Half covered by a blue plastic sheet is a shabby lock-up garage, the focal point of the search for clues in the mystery of the allotment murder. The garage is used to store garden tools, but in the early hours of Tuesday morning, it was where police found the body of the secretary of the Collindale Allotment and Garden Association.
When plot holders found out Leah Adrisioko had been murdered, they left bouquets of flowers near the entrance and a large photograph of her smiling was pinned to the gate. Ruth Pierce, a neighbour, commented on the death of Leah. She was lovely. She really was. A family lady. Everybody knew her around here. I know the family quite well. A post-mortem later found that Leah's cause of death was ligature compression of the neck. A mower starter cable was used to do it. It was evident that the 80-year-old had been beaten beforehand. She had suffered cuts and bruises, and even more disturbing, she sustained fractures to her ribs and spinal bones. Leah's death and its method had a devastating effect on her close-knit family. Her son, Mark Adrisioko, spoke to the press outside of the allotments. He said, "Mum was the heart of our family. Everything in our family's lives pretty much revolved around her." Pleading for information, he continued, "We're appealing for anyone who saw anything, anything at all. It doesn't matter how small or insignificant. Please come forward."
We have had the heart ripped out of our family. We can hardly process what has happened.
Mark's sister, Tessa Adrisioko, then spoke. She said, "Mum loved working at the allotments. She was the kind of person who would do anything for anyone. This event affected not just our family, but the whole community. We need truth and justice. Police officers distributed flyers asking for information, stopping cars in the area to see if the drivers had seen anything on the day of Leah's murder. The back of the lawnmower shed was overlooked by houses, however they were a fair distance away. No one had witnessed anything. It was established she had spoken to a friend on the telephone at 2:30 p.m. on the day of her murder, so officers were trying to trace her movements from 2:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. that day. Detective Chief Inspector Noel McHugh said, "People might have seen her walking past and think it's not important, but it is important.
Residents will have seen Leah, and it may be they take it for granted because they've seen her so often, but we need them to think back, particularly on that Monday, did you see Leah and what was she doing?"
They wanted anyone with any information, no matter how small it seemed, to get in touch. One of the four key holders to the lawnmower shed was Rahim Mohammadi. That fact and his history of angry outbursts towards Leah, even though they had not led to any physical altercations, made him a person of interest. At first, he was interviewed as a witness, but in further police interviews, Mohammadi gave different, inconsistent and incomplete accounts of his movements on the day of Leah's murder. He said he had gone to the allotment to purchase some opium on February 27th. While he was there, he heard shouting but ignored it, believing it was just a drunken argument. When officers got hold of some CCTV footage, it was clear Rahim Mohammadi had not been completely honest. He had spent 5 hours at the allotments that day, and CCTV cameras filmed him at the ticket barrier in the local tube station wearing dark clothing, looking unremarkable in the crowds that passed. A second camera also picked him up walking along Sheaves Hill Avenue, shielding his head from the rain with something in his possession, but officers couldn't tell what it was. On Sunday, March 5th, 2017, Rahim Mohammadi was charged with murder. He was remanded in custody and appeared at Wimbledon Magistrates Court the following Monday. Mohammadi would be held in custody at Belmarsh Prison until the trial. On May 3rd, something unexpected happened. A second man was wanted for questioning in relation to the murder of Leah Adrisioko. Police told the public it was urgent. They trace Mubarak Duat, a 37-year-old originally from Ghana. He was also known by many other aliases, including Kauka Duha, Mubarak Duha, and Mubaris Duha. A £20,000 reward was put forward for information that led to Mubarak Duat's arrest and prosecution. A warning was given, quote, "Duat can be violent, so if you see him, please do not approach him." He was described as black, slim, and 5'8" tall. Duat was known to have spent time in various areas of London, including Hackney, Dalston, Maldon, Colindale, Thornton Heath, Wimbledon, Hammersmith and Fulham. A small amount of Mubarak Duat's DNA had been found on Leah Adrisioko's right hand. Detective Chief Inspector Noel McHugh also made another appeal, especially mentioning Colindale allotment holders past and present to come forward if they had any information at all. He said, I'm still keen to speak with those who were in and around the area at the time of the incident. It is important that we continue to build a timeline of the events that led to officers discovering Leah's body in the lockup store. Any piece of information, however small, will help my team build a picture of events that tragic day. A set of house keys with a small Morrison supermarket loyalty card attached belonging to Leah remained missing. Police divers searched a nearby stream while a fingertip search of the allotments was underway. One of Leah Adrisioko's children said they hoped to find out the truth about the callous death of our kind and loving mum. They went on to say, "We need your help, the public, to support us now by assisting the investigation and helping to shed light on Mum's final hours." The very same day, library staff at John Harvard Library in Southwark, South London, recognised Mubarak Duat and dialed 999. A swarm of police officers descended on the library. On a video recording of the incident captured on someone's mobile phone, Duat, who was dressed in all black with his arms held behind his back, could be heard shouting, "You are a psycho. You are no man. I will forever be a man more than you.
I will forever be a man more than you. I swear, no matter how long you challenge me, I will always be a man more than you. You've stolen my $1,000. It's $1,000. Whoever put this
hand." A witness, Shahara Rahman, spoke to the Daily Mail. Suddenly, the police came with big guns and just grabbed him. About 10 came with these huge guns and surrounded him. Three of them put handcuffs on him and he was shouting, saying, "Why are you arresting me?" Then the police took him outside. I got scared. He was very angry and the guy is huge. I go to the library every day and the guy was sitting right next to me and I didn't realise. At first I thought he had stolen a book. I was very shocked. The library staff's vigilance was praised, but after a thorough investigation, it was found Mubarak Duat had nothing to do with the pensioner's murder. He had a solid alibi for the entire day of the killing. That day he was working as a kitchen porter in a restaurant in Covent Garden. When he finished his shift, he went to Croydon, and this was confirmed by the location of his mobile phone. After that, he purchased a National Express coach ticket to Stockton-on-Tees at Victoria in central London. He was nowhere near the scene that day, so was excluded as a suspect.
Rahim Mohammadi, a fellow allotment user, stands accused of murder. It's the prosecution's case that the accused attacked.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
On January 9th, 2018, a trial started at the Old Bailey in London. Rahim Mohammadi denied any involvement in the murder of Leah Adrisioko. When he testified, Mohammadi told the court about some of the allotment meetings. He mentioned his verbal outburst 2 days before Leah's murder and agreed there was an exchange fraught with tension. He said, "Towards the end of the meeting, I stand up and say bye-bye little witch because she used to call me little puppy." Mohammadi went on to say he was embarrassed about the name-calling and, according to the defendant, later, in his shed while they both drank a cup of tea, he apologised to Leah. He said the reason for him travelling to the allotments that day was to meet a man to buy £200 worth of opium. Mohammadi claimed he had gone to Leah Adrisioko's home that day so he could collect the key for the main gate. He said the two were cordial and she offered him a coffee. The pair chatted about carpeting her stairs while they drank. Mohammadi went back to Leah's property a second time that day, claiming he returned a tape measure that Leah had let him borrow. He had left the allotment again for a third time over the period of 5 hours to buy the illegal opium, a bottle of water and a pouch of tobacco. Mohammadi then claimed he heard someone shouting. He explained to the court, "I just said to myself, now they are drunk and they are fighting each other." Plot holders from the Collindale allotment site spoke in court. They testified that Rahim Mohammadi had a reputation for being volatile and verbally aggressive. Kelso Gomez took to the stand to recall an incident in 2012 when he found himself on the receiving end of Mohammadi's temper. Gomez had taken a shortcut crossing over a portion of Mohammadi's plot to go and see his friend and to relieve himself near a stream. It wasn't the shortcut he expected when Rahim Mohammadi caught up with him and went off on a tirade for an hour. Kelso Gomez stated, "This man came out of his shed as I walked across his plot, saying I was looking through his window. He was drunk and started pushing me. He started shouting at me that he was going to kill me." Gomez was at his allotment the day of the murder, and he confirmed that he saw Mohammadi there too. During cross-examination, defence counsel Tyrone Smith QC addressed the witness and said, "You realise some people do not like it when other people start walking on their plot. Many people regard it as bad manners if you do not ask someone if you can walk on their plot." The QC then brought up something which he felt may explain his client's anger. Quote, "Around this time, had there been reports of thefts from the allotments?" Kelso Gomez agreed there was. Clive Critchley, another allotment holder, said Mohammadi had called him the day after Leah's death. Mohammadi had told him that he had gone to the allotments that day, but could not get in because it was taped off. John Price QC spoke about Rahim Mohammadi and addressing jurors said, "It is not suggested that he has ever previously physically assaulted Mrs. Adri Sioko." But the prosecutor highlighted Mohammadi's display of verbal aggression, which shocked others at a meeting held about the allotment. Price then went on to speak about Leah's feelings towards her alleged killer. "We know from what others later observed of her, and from her insistence that the minutes of that meeting should include a full account of what happened, that she was affected by it, and has been said by some who knew her, she was wary of him." The prosecutor told the jury the motive was to prevent Leah from reporting a very serious assault on an elderly victim. He said, "The killing of Mrs. Adri Sioko was carried out with cold-blooded deliberation. The other blunt force injuries speak of a more spontaneous use of violence." The QC addressed Leah's injuries and how Rahim Mohammadi would have felt. As he pondered what he had just done to her, Rahim Mohammadi would have feared that he would never again be allowed to return to the allotment, and so he killed her. "He has shown himself very sensitive to any perceived slight, however minor, and is quickly aroused to behave in a way others found frightening. He is also capable of recovering his poise just as quickly, and sometimes even of apologizing. He's temperamentally volatile." John Price addressed the links to Mubarak Duat, the man who had been arrested but never ultimately charged in relation to Leah's murder. The prosecutor told jurors, "The DNA of Mr. Duat on the right hand of Mrs. Adri Sioko is likely to have got there not long before her hand was swabbed, and if during her life, not long before she died." The QC insisted that Duat's potential involvement had been thoroughly investigated, quote, "However it got there, and even if it was on the 27th, the DNA of Mubarak Duat found on the right hand of Mrs. Adri Sioko could not, in light of the other evidence, have been deposited as a result of direct contact on that day between her and him. He could not have been involved in her murder, whether acting alone or with anyone else." The Crown's case centred on Mohammadi assaulting his victim and then killing her to stop her reporting an initial assault, which would have meant he would have lost his allotment plot. After all the evidence had been presented, jurors deliberated over 3 days, but failed to reach a majority verdict. It was a hung jury. Rahim Mohammadi was told he would face a retrial. This also meant Leah Adri Sioko's family had to endure a second trial. The retrial was held during November 2018, and Rahim Mohammadi still denied having anything to do with the death of Leah Adri Sioko. From a courtroom at the Old Bailey, John Price QC prosecuting told the jury, quote, "Mrs. Adri Sioko was beaten up. That in turn does point to a motive for her murder, to avoid detection for a shocking and very serious assault on a vulnerable old lady. Because of her age, she was immediately identified as potentially vulnerable, and so the police began an immediate search. One place that her family had not looked for her was on the allotment, and so with a number of officers, they went there." The prosecution suggested Mohammadi had planned to move Leah's body, but had been unable to as she was found when her mobile phone was heard ringing in a nearby shed. Rahim Mohammadi's DNA was found on the cord used to carry out the murder, and he was one of only 4 key holders who had restricted access to the shed where Leah's body was found. The CCTV footage of Mohammadi coming and going from the allotment that day was shown to the jury. The new jury heard about the internal conflict at the Colindale allotment and the angry exchanges in the meetings before Leah's murder. Mohammadi's defence counsel tried to blame Mubarak Duat, but this fell flat. Duat had been proven to be where he said he was, though it was still not clear how his DNA got on to Leah Adrisioko's hand. Speaking about the defendant, John Price QC said the Crown was able to prove his guilt with evidence that included DNA found on the lawnmower starter cord, the fact he could access and then lock the shed as a key carrying committee member, and CCTV showing his true movements on the day. In a moving victim impact statement, Leah Adrisioko's family, who held hands in court, spoke about their loss. The statement read as follows. All anyone hopes is for a peaceful and pain-free end for their parents when the time comes. The agony of knowing what horror she endured and how she suffered is indescribable torture, to which there is no closure. This can never be put right, erased or undone. She has been stolen from us, and the theft of her has left a void in our hearts that nothing can truly fill. Nothing will make it less horrific or agonizing. This long and exhausting trial has been a mountain to climb. Even now we struggle to maintain composure at times in public. It feels often as though we are living someone else's life, that this nightmare simply cannot be ours. We close our eyes and hope it's just a dream, but it's still there. It's true. Mum, Nan is really gone. There will always be a part of us that remains in that shed with her that day she died. We cannot change that. We could not protect her when she needed us most. Mum's murder tore the heart out of our family, but we are lucky to have only good memories of her, and the light of her love and strength within us will keep us strong. She loved life and lived it with humble grace. That someone so kind could be treated this way is unforgivable, and we will miss her desperately for the rest of our lives. On November 29, 2018, Rahim Mohammadi was unanimously convicted of Leah Adrisioko's murder. He showed no emotion as the guilty verdict was read aloud. Being led from the dock to his cell, Mohammadi focused his gaze on the jury as he spat out, "You will have that on your conscience, sending an innocent man to prison." During sentencing, Judge Richard Marks QC addressed Mohammadi and said, "It goes without saying, although Leah was fit for her age, she was an elderly lady, and as such, confronted and attacked by you as she was vulnerable in the extreme. How bitterly ironic that the place she loved so much, the allotment, was the place she met her death." Rahim Mohammadi was jailed for life and will have to serve at least 19 years before he is considered for parole. Noel McHugh, the Scotland Yard Detective Chief Inspector, addressed the press following the verdict. He said, "Although I never had the privilege of meeting Leah, we have learnt what a lovely, caring lady she was, like everyone's mum or gran. She was a real pillar of the community, a sprightly 80-year-old grandmother who was very active in a local neighbourhood." His comments on Mohammadi were not as flattering. Mohammadi was a fellow plot holder and someone she had known for some years. He was an aggressive, threatening and highly manipulative man, and there had been previous issues with him at the allotment. There is no doubt that Leah was very uncomfortable around him. it could best be described that she tolerated him. But Leah would ultimately pay with her life. Leah's children gave a statement. Leah was our mother and grandmother, but she was also a sister, an auntie and a friend to so many. She gave her time, trust and forgiveness to all, and at 80 years old, she was not jaded or cynical. Above all, Mum had such strength and commitment to tolerance and fairness, volunteering her time without complaint or reward for the well-being of others. So where are we now? The mystery of how Mubarak Duat's DNA ended up on the hand of Leah Radrisioko has never been solved, either by police or forensic experts. A plaque was put in the Colindale allotments as a tribute to a woman who dedicated many hours to the site. Using Leah's maiden name, it read, "In memory of Leah Hulselmans, 1936 to 2017, the great servant of the allotment for many years." On Tuesday, November 4th, 2018, Leah's son Mark told the Standard newspaper, "At least we have got a reasonably positive outcome in that the person who did this is in jail and will be for a long time. We know the truth has come out and we can try to build a life that honours her memory. It's been devastating for all of us, utterly unimaginable. We will never get over it. A death has massacred so much in our family. One of the things my mum loved about the allotment was that it was such a mixed community. She helped and supported the Freedom from Torture charity, and she would hate to think that because of one person, that people would want to stop supporting and helping refugees." Mark and Tessa Radrisioko spoke about their mother.
"Some people I've seen have been making play about the fact that, you know, it was an immigrant or a refugee, and this is nothing to do with that. These are the actions of one
very sick,
very
individual.
Wicked individual.
Yeah.
And where they came from and what they are is nothing else to do with it. And trying to make that kind of capital out of it is the kind of thing my mother would not have stood for at all. We've been robbed of a woman who was living her life to the fullest, with her friends, with her family, with the community.
She was the absolute rock of our family.
She was our heart.
And she still is. She still is. You know, her legacy will live on because she was that.
Thank you for listening, and special thanks to this week's Patreon producer, Renee Rawsornan. You can follow us on Twitter at TWAU_podcast, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook under They Walk Among Us podcast. Details on this episode can be found in the show notes or on our website, theywalkamonguspodcast.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.